My name is Kathy Vu, and I am here from Asian Services in Action. Before I get started, I'm kind of curious of in the room here, and in terms of geography, how many of you here are from the West Coast area? Okay, and then how about East Coast? Midwest? And in the South? And then the Central area? And the Pacific Islanders? Okay, so that's kind of nice for me to kind of have an idea of kind of where everybody's from. Today I am going to be talking about how to assess Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander health needs using culturally and linguistically competent methods in terms of collecting data. And I don't have any disclosures besides the fact that I'm not really a morning person, so if my brain goes a little away, then I'm still probably processing. All right, just to give you all kind of a rundown of what I'll be talking about, I'm going to start off with the background about Asia, give you a lay of the land of some of the challenges that we go through living in Ohio with the Asian American community, and then provide some strategies that we took to attack those challenges and then some of the outcomes. And I hope that through this presentation you could kind of take some of those strategies and apply it to the work that you do regardless of whatever background you come from. Asia Inc. is actually located in Akron, Cleveland, Ohio. In 1995, what happened was four immigrant women came together and realized that, you know, there was an increasing Asian population in Northeast Ohio without the resources available, primarily health resources and in language resources. And so what they did was very, very simple and very much true to public health. They had a health clinic. And it was very, like I said, you know, mom-pop kind of thing. And this health clinic drew in a huge number of the Asian community members who came. And from there, it was the beginning of Asian Services in Action, which now we have two offices in Akron and Cleveland. And our mission is to empower Asian American and Pacific Islanders in Northeast Ohio to access quality, culturally, and linguistically appropriate information and services. So, in other words, we are a social service agency. But more recently, we have also expanded into a Better Qualified Health Center in Cleveland, Ohio, which now we provide a variety of services from immigration to translation and interpreting services to ESOL to healthcare services. Now, I know that before I moved to Ohio, I lived in California, and if someone told me I'm from Ohio, I was like, that's kind of, I don't know, somewhere out there. So this is what Ohio looks like. And in 2012, the U.S. Census indicated that Asian Americans are the fastest growing racial group in the United States and in Ohio. And more specifically in Ohio, we increased 3.1% compared to the U.S. average of 2.9%. The interesting part is that in Cleveland, the population actually is decreasing, while the Asian American population is actually increasing, actually more specifically 42% over the last decade. And a lot of times that's because of, you know, job security or just a lot of young professionals coming into Ohio. And if you don't know, if you follow sports, LeBron James is from Akron, Ohio. So. Sorry, it's just kind of weird here. So just the lay of the land. More recently in Cleveland, Ohio, I apologize for the slide being, some of the words kind of being messed up here. But more recently, Cuyahoga County created an initiative, a countywide initiative called Health Improvement Partnership Cuyahoga, which basically what they did was they took a very comprehensive method of collecting a community assessment where they went throughout the community with different partners and organizations to find out what are the issues in Cleveland, Ohio, or in Cuyahoga County, and how can we attack these issues. And then from there, they were able to funnel down some priority measures that they wanted to take. Their main goal was to go out to where people live, work, learn, and play, and really attack these from a policy, systems, and environmental standpoint. Healthy HPC is what it's also known as. They did a really great job in terms of including a lot of partners. And then I'll follow up with a little bit more about that. But I just want to kind of give you the lay of the land of kind of what's going on locally for us at that time. And at the same time, while Hep C was taking place and developing on a countywide level, here we are, Asian Services in Action, when we are the only agency like ours who serves the Asian American community in Northeast Ohio. We created a coalition called Reaching Asian Americans Through Innovative and Supportive Engagement. And so this was actually stemmed from a CDC Reach project through the Health Forum. And the purpose of this coalition was to, obtain health equity from a policy systems environmental change for healthy eating, active living. So we came together and brought four different sectors into this coalition. So I have up here four different groups. The first group we have were the ethnic voluntary social groups. So we have five different ethnic groups that and their leaders who joined our coalition. We had an Indian Muslim, Indian Hindu, Korean, Chinese, and Filipino group that was in that sector. We have four different cultural language schools. So we had two Chinese schools, a Korean school, and a Hindu school. In Cleveland, Ohio, we have three refugee resettlement organizations. So all three were on board. And then the last one was the Asiatown Development Committee. And I'm going to go into more detail with that. But then through this, these four different sectors, we were able to develop a coalition to talk about health equity in the lens of healthy eating, active living, because that's what our REACH funding was for and stemmed for at that time. When we came together, we were able to talk more. It was really interesting because we were able to talk more about what health equity meant and how that impacted each of their communities. And so when we took a look as a coalition at this Hep C assessment that was done, we realized that there were a few challenges that we were up against. And the reason why this Hep C thing was such a big deal was because this was a model that the county health department was planning to use to prioritize their health outcomes for the next few years coming up. So we knew that this is basically the map that the county at the level was going to be taking in terms of funding, targeting groups, programs, and all those different things. So we wanted to make sure that, are we included in this Hep C evaluation, or how well are we demonstrated in here? And what we noticed is that for the Asian American Pacific Islander community, we were included in the group as other. And so when they had the ethnic groups, it was white, Black, Latino, and other. And so we felt very much like, wow, this was a big surprise to us, because we felt like they did a really good job and didn't understand why we were classified as other. And so I guess the big challenge is that since we are a small population, and actually we are pretty equivalent to the Latino community as well, so that's a surprise, but then we make up such a small portion of Cleveland, Ohio, and I will be very frank that in Cleveland, Ohio, it's very much the Latinos and the Asian Americans make up such a small number that a lot of times Cleveland, Ohio is perceived as Black and white, and that's in itself, I understand why, but then there are also groups that kind of fall through the cracks when they need some of those services and some of those resources. Another challenge that we saw was the aggregated data. And so when we went to the health department, we were told, it was hard to get into the community and you all don't really have any issues. And so that was a big surprise to us, because we said, we have a huge number of Indians who have diabetes or hypertension. We have a huge number of people in the Filipino community who are obese or overweight. And obviously we all know that leads to chronic diseases. And so the fact that a lot of the data was aggregated and not just, and multi-generational data as well. So we have, immigrants who have been there for years, and we had, we just had a huge influx of refugees from, the Burmese and the Burma, the Karen and the Mon community. So we had such a huge array of data that it really wasn't well represented. And then the third challenge that we saw that was mentioned was that, we have to prioritize resources. And as we all know, it's not cheap to get information translated, interpreted. So we put our thinking caps on, and some strategies that our coalition came together was that we knew that as a coalition and with this REACH project, that we wanted to do in a community assessment to evaluate the policy, systems, and environmental aspects that were already existing from a healthy eating, active living lens. But to be strategic, what we did was instead of asking the health department, hey, why can't we be at your table? Why can't we be at your table? We said, hey, come to our table and we will secure funding. So we contracted with the health department to provide us technical assistance so that they, because sometimes, obviously, and this is just a business aspect, when you are consulting someone, you have to learn about their business and their work to properly consult them. So that was the strategy that we used. And we brought them to our table to provide us technical assistance to complete healthy eating, active living initiatives. And that obviously stemmed to a bigger discussion about data equity. Through this partnership, we were actually able to incorporate the HIPC survey that was given out and tie it into the existing work that we were doing with the policy scan that we were taking place with our coalition. So a policy, this is I guess with the blue one, a policy that we have our agency is that every single grant that we write for, we always secure a portion for interpreting and translation services. And a portion of it always goes to, so that no matter what program we're doing, that's always available. So that clients who come in, if they need it, it's available. If we have the Affordable Care Act that was just here, we had some portion of that funding available to provide that service so that it wasn't, we weren't trying to look for a tree with money on it to pay for that service. And so with this, we were able to actually integrate it into the HIPC survey, components of the HIPC survey and our existing RAISE evaluation, and utilize our existing partnerships to disseminate the survey out to the community, so basically to our coalition. Our coalition, obviously, they were leaders of huge associations or groups who bring in hundreds of people, who represent hundreds of people in the community. So these three strategies were really, really positive, and actually we had really good outcomes from them. But I would say that the one that we felt like made the biggest difference was when we brought the health department to our table to consult us in terms that led to a bigger discussion. And so I just want to give you all an example or a little snapshot of one of the projects that actually developed from this, which was the Asiatown development. So in Cleveland, Ohio, they're in the process of kind of creating like a Chinatown, but called Asiatown instead, because we do have like high Vietnamese, Chinese, Indian community. And so with the Asiatown development, we're working with the Community Development Corporation to collect the data of what the community members in this neighborhood wanted. Now, the interesting part about Asiatown was that sometimes when you go to like big cities, they might not have a huge resident. You know, it's more like a tourist site or something, but in our Asiatown, there's a huge, huge immigrant community who actually lives in this area. And so we realized that what the Community Development Corporation was doing was they were collecting data on what the community wants. But when they were collecting the data, they were doing it at the big fairs. And as you know, fairs bring in tourists, people who don't really live in the community, but people who drive from far away to come and have a good time with their family. So we felt like, okay, is this really representing what the community actually wants, and how is this data being collected? We found out it's in English, you know. It was in its long form, and it was very informal. It was at a table at a fair, so we knew that, as we all know, that would kind of had some bias to it. And so we said, hey, we brought them to our table and said, you know, come be part of this coalition. And we were able to get the survey translated into Chinese, or into Chinese, because we knew that that was the huge population that lived in this area. And then they were actually able to recruit some interns from Cleveland State University to go out door to door and provide the survey in language. And that had huge, huge outcomes. And from there, we found out that the community really, really wanted a community health, like a community rec center. And the interesting part was that two blocks away, there was a community health center that was existing, just nobody knew about it. You know, so those were some things that we found out, like what is going on that the community doesn't know about this rec center that's available right down the street. We also were able to utilize this data to find out that the residents area wanted increased walkability, they wanted bike lanes, they wanted green space, basically all things to solidify what the development plan was doing already. But the great part about this is that now there's community buy-in, whereas before it was kind of like, I think, concept, you know, in terms of Coca-Cola because we know, like, of course, walkability is good, but to have that community buy-in was so important. And to leverage that support from council members was also very, very important, because then when we had the big reveal of the master plan, community members showed up and said, yeah, this is what we want. And so, as we all know, this kind of trickled down into complete streets design that's actually in the process right now of being going through the city for approval and all of that. So that was one way that we were able to utilize our existing partners, bringing people to our table, and then interpreting and translating the surveys to collect data. So some key outcomes that came out from the strategies, the three that I outlined, was just the awareness of aggregated data for some of our big stakeholders, like the health department or the community development corporation, because like I said, when you bring them on as a consultant, they have to learn about what your mission and vision is and what your issues are. And so that really was an educational session for them, because a lot of times they were like, oh, we didn't know that, you know, certain groups perceive food differently. And so while they were trying to go out to the refugee community to talk about healthy eating, active living, we said, well, do you realize that some food is a source of survival, and maybe that's their perception of food rather than nutrition sometimes, you know? And so those things were really enlightening. And even in terms of, you know, fasting or food restrictions, the difference between Hindu and Muslim in terms of their diet and how they value food, that was really valuable for the health department to know as well, especially for them to be doing such a comprehensive health assessment. The second outcome was community empowerment, and having this coalition become kind of like the foundation for the voice for our community in Cleveland. And I really see this kind of stemming into our goal is that hopefully from this Healthy Eating Active Living Coalition that we could translate it into a Health and All Policies Coalition and start looking at other issues such as tobacco, hepatitis, being more intentional about it. But the fact that right now the community really feels like empowered to do something about the obesity rates in the Asian American children right now, you know, that's very, very motivating from a, you know, from all the work that we do, that's all we ever want, right? For community members to say, yeah, we want to help and push this mission forward. And another key outcome was that we were actually, because of our collaboration, we were invited to the HIPC subcommittee for Healthy Eating Active Living to give actual feedback about what the Asian community needs. And that in itself was a big, big accomplishment because, you know, honestly, when you look at it, everybody wants to help each other in public health, but it's that access to that or not knowing which avenue to take. So sometimes bring someone to our table in return, and I think this goes to everything, you know, you bring someone over to your house to eat dinner, and next time they have dinner, they ask you to go to their house. And so that's really basically what happened, that by us inviting the health department to us, we were invited to their table as well. So in summary, you know, through the different strategies that we used, we, you know, see that there is improved data, that there is improved partnership and improved equity, and in terms, data equity, which for us translates to health equity as well. So hopefully this was helpful. I know I kind of ran through it pretty fast, and my slides were pretty simple. But if you have any questions, this is my email and our website up here. Okay, thank you.